What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks you for joining us. Jesus, that's terrible.
It's preseason.
Haven't even been drinking. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast, not-so-instant reaction show. I will be your host, Jason, for a not-so-instant reaction look at the game that happened last night. The Saints beat the Chargers 27-10. The starters did get a little bit of a run, more of a run than they've had the past few games. So the game was actually entertaining for a lot of Saints fans, at least the first half. So we will get into the game, and this will be the only topic that we'll discuss today. We'll have our super season kickoff show we'll be doing sometime next weekend after the roster cuts. And hopefully we'll get more injury updates on players who have been kind of nursing things coming along. But for now, we're just going to talk about the game last night. So with us, we have James, Wesley, and Scott. How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
All good.
All right. So we had our first game in the Dome last night. Preseason, I did not attend. I don't go to preseason games. But we had a lot of the starters out there. It was our first look at Jameis Winston since he hurt his knee last year. And I got to say, the offense looked pretty damn crisp early on. Winston and Dalton combined went 9 for 9. The offense moved the ball. We ran the ball. I mean, it's crazy, too. The one thing you could look at, we had a lot of penalties that kind of negated some big runs last night, but the running game looked good, the passing game looked good, and it's hard not to feel good about where the offense is going into the season.
Yeah. Jameis.
Go ahead, Scott.
All right. Jameis looked really good. The whole offense looked good. Obviously, we didn't have Michael Thomas out there, which will make it even look better if that's possible. The big thing, I guess, was the penalties, but you know, it's preseason. You'll get that cleaned up. But we even overcame the penalties. You know, it was like we had these penalties, but it didn't faze us at all. We were still just rolling along. Now, I know the Chargers probably didn't – or I know they didn't play any defensive starters, but it's still NFL quality players, and we just looked really, really good.
I think it's kind of like a perfect scenario that the offense could play that well, get that kind of confidence going, but still the coaching staff has something to yell at everybody about with some penalties. And like, they can go and have a meeting to where they don't say anything positive about the game to kind of keep everybody challenged. Interesting, Dalton and Winston both had a 118.8 quarterback rating. They had an identical quarterback rating, which is kind of funny. But and the things that beyond like it just successful plays and scoring touchdowns, the things Jameis was doing. One, he threw a pass to Alvin Kamara. Excellent. We need that to happen.
Over the middle.
He climbed the pocket, which has been something that he's been uncomfortable doing, is kind of stepping through the pocket. And you could tell he climbed up to the pocket intending to throw. And then what we saw last year is that he has the ability to run, and he's been practicing that a lot in the preseason. So it's pretty cool watching him climb the pocket with his head downfield and throwing. I believe he threw to four different receivers too. He threw to Landry twice. Which the guys he was throwing to were wide open. I will say that. I mean, he's making those accurate throws, but also those guys are running routes and getting out there. And then Scott mentioned it, but we were missing the guy who was the last time he played the offensive player of the year for the NFL. And everything that we've heard, is as much as it looked great with these other guys catching the ball, everything we've seen in the preseason and heard is that Michael Thomas is still the best receiver on this team by far. As good as Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave are, Michael Thomas is the number one wide receiver on this team, probably by a mile. This team, like what it can do, if Jameis plays above average football, I mean, we're definitely a playoff team, and there's anybody we can beat with this defense if he plays, you know, regular smart football.
Yeah, but it was the running game too. You know, we were big, you know, 10. I mean, Kamara was what, 9.4 yards per carry or something like that. And again, you've got to, you know, countenance that by saying that it wasn't the Chargers starting defense. You know, there's no, but even so, still big holes. You know, all of the line were blocking well. I mean, I've seen the highlights back this morning. You know, there's a couple of blocks where Ruiz was getting out in front and, you know, going up to the second level, sealing off a linebacker to make the hole. And, you know, the runs to the left, I mean, we'll talk about Penning, I'm sure, in a minute. But, you know, the runs to the left in the first half behind Penning and Pete, the first drive, sorry. You know, Kamara was already 5 yards downfield before he was getting touched.
Yeah, he looks good, and it was nice to see Jameis take a hit or two, you know, to get back in game action. I know some people were questioning why we were playing the starters last night, but when you factor in Jameis hadn't played a live NFL action since October, it was good to get that series in, and I think he needed it. And he missed the last 2 weeks, including the joint practices against the Packers. So I do think it was important for him to get those few snaps. And look, after that first drive, we're like, all right, good, you're out. You know, we've seen enough. So,
AK, I'm trying not to like forget the past, but every year in the preseason and during the season, we sit there and say that Alvin Kamara is an alien. Like the way he keeps his balance and the way that he doesn't look like he's running hard, but he's suddenly somehow faster than everybody else on the team, on the field, and that he catches every single ball that he gets a hand on. Like, it's weird. And I really think that this year, again, the media and other people at practice have been telling us this was his best. Dennis Allen said this was his best preseason ever. And that seems weird. You're like, okay, you're supposed to say that. I mean, the way he continues to be able to bounce off of hits and all. And the one that surprised me the most, the one that he took down to the 1 yard line, he got crushed by Trevor Penning. And instead of like going down, he just like took the bounce and bounced all the way to the hash mark and just kept driving his legs. So he was able to keep his balance, but also stayed very powerful. There's just not anybody like him in that kind of the size and the mixture of what he does. And he's makes himself small hitting the hole. And then he's all of a sudden running over people and around tackles. It's just weird. But I mean, if you, again, that's a guy you keep him healthy and Jameis decides to throw 5 yard passes to him, a lot of great things are going to happen for this offense and team.
Penning knocked him about 6 yards sideways on that.
He crushed him. And if you watch it, like Penning didn't accidentally run into him. Penning just noticed somebody was there and threw his shoulder. And I think he thought he was blocking a linebacker because Kamara came out of the side, is the side of his vision. I mean, Penning hit him.
It wasn't just a gentle nudge. If that was a defensive player, that had some feeling behind it.
It seems dumb to say that one of the best players in the NFL has gotten better, but I mean, it seems like, I mean, Alvin Kamara, I mean, he continues to work hard and has gotten better. I mean, and you mentioned Ruiz, among everything else, looks physically different this year, and not just his play, but his body build. He's always been like, and it's confusing with offensive linemen that look like they're overweight, but they're big muscular guys that hold extra weight. He looks like a big muscular guy now that's holding extra weight. And I don't remember him ever looking that way. I just thought he just always looked like a big offensive lineman. He's much more physical with his blocking this year. And it's, he just looks physically different. And remember, we did a lot this year, bringing in some strength and conditioning coaches and redefining that program. And maybe we're going to see it with guys like this, and hopefully we see it with health this year.
Well, and like you said, you know, earlier in the offseason, bringing in Doug Marrone to help with the offensive line. I mean, this he looks to have worked, you know, fingers crossed. It looks like Ruiz may have actually turned a little bit of a corner here.
Yep.
So, and look, the Saints, they spread the ball around. I mean, Landry had a couple catches. Callaway had a good game, 4 catches. Merritt showed out again, caught a touchdown. And I mean, man, I mean, of course, Callaway's should have been a touchdown. Wasn't, I still can't believe, I know it's preseason, but man, like they don't blow the fucking whistle. Don't blow the whistle.
What are you doing?
I mean, I mean, we know it's a point of emphasis. Let the play go, and if the ball hits the ground, it's easy to overturn. But now you killed a touchdown. You've killed a touchdown.
There's no way the refs could have known that ball hit the floor.
No chance.
There's no way they knew.
Maybe because of the way it bounced up, they thought it did. I don't know. That'd be the only thing I could think that they would think that. And we haven't really mentioned it yet. We were talking about, you know, I mean, you look at AK and how good he ran, but Mark Ingram looked pretty fresh. Like, I mean, he looked thinner. I don't know if it's the number five that makes him look smaller, but he looked thinner. He ran good. He scored two touchdowns. You know, if we can get down to the goal line and hand it to him to get into the end zone with our offensive line, I mean, I don't know that there's anything anybody can do to stop that.
With running backs, I really liked seeing Tony Jones Jr. catch two balls out of the backfield too. Just you to be a running back on this team and to not let the defense know what's for sure coming, he's got to be able to do that. So him being able to do that, I think, was a big deal. And then I know somebody mentioned Merritt. I mean, again, we'll talk about cuts, but I don't see how you don't have that guy on the team. And now, again, what scares me is like he's the next Callaway, a guy that makes a bunch of big plays and you get excited about. But then, I mean, there's a real possibility we go the whole season and he doesn't have 150 yards receiving, even he's on the team all year. But I think there's some future there. And I think 100% he's a guy that if he gets cut, is somebody's picking him up to be on their team.
Yeah,
right. There's some bad receiver groups, and he's made a few too many plays to not be noticed.
Is he potentially going to get a season-ending hangnail in the next week and go on IR?
I don't think so. I mean, we're going to see what happens with this Traquan injury. The Traquan injury, depending on what's going on, if he's got a collarbone or a shoulder or something like that, his arm was hanging funny. I mean, that could be – one, it could be a respectful way that Traquan might have been on the bubble to get cut anyway. But it also is a way to not lose Merritt and all that. We'll see what happens. That could be an interesting thing there.
Right. I mean, you could put Traquan on IR. That'll free up that spot for Merritt for at least the first few weeks of the season.
And well, you couldn't put him on IR until after the cuts. So you'd have to do both.
Oh. I gotcha.
So you'd have, it's a weird thing that you have to do with when it gets this close to the season starting.
Okay.
What anybody think about Ian Book? Did you see anything? I mean, he was 11 for 15 with one touchdown. He tried to throw a couple interceptions, but didn't. And then was actually ran seven times for 50 yards, 7 yards a carry.
He was better. But then that's a really low bar that he was starting from. So, look, I still don't see a way he makes the 53. I can't see it.
Yeah, I think in other seasons where there wasn't – like, we Justin Evans shown us we got to keep seven safeties. And, again, for special teams purposes, we keep hearing that Daniel Sorensen's going to be on this team most likely.
I mean,
he's not coming on to be a safety necessarily, but – Justin Evans isn't getting cut, I'll tell you right now. And we got to figure out something with linebacker if Werner's not healthy. We got a couple guys with Bostic is in every single play. It just looks incredible. I'm really happy with watching him play. But there's some interesting decisions here with definitely with linebacker and safety and wide receiver and all that.
Justin Evans last night, I mean, obviously he had the punch out for the fumble, didn't he? But then about I think it was at the start of the fourth quarter. He had that hit coming out of the running back coming out of the backfield, and
tried to get around the edge. I mean, and actually, we had Bond make a couple plays too, where I mean, he set the edge really good. I just don't know if he's too many things that have gone wrong. And then I'll tell you the other guy I'm finding a hard time to say we're going to cut him is Taco Charlton. Now, again, this is a first round draft pick that has never come through and like become the player he's supposed to be. One, his mindset sounded really good with the interviews he was given, but he's bum rushing every offensive lineman that tries to block him. Now, I don't know how I can grade if it was the number two or the number three offensive lineman that's never ever going to play in the NFL and it's just some idiot, and so they don't really care that he was throwing that guy in the quarterback's face. But I mean, he's motivated and he's a big old athletic guy that means. Again, it just depends on kind of health around there, but there's a couple guys that are going to get picked up by other teams. Again, we say that every year, like, oh, don't cut this guy. He won't make it to the practice squad. And then they all do, but this seems like a different year.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Taco Charlton. There was at least two occasions where he put the left tackle on the floor, you know, on a proper bull rush. So, yeah.
And, it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And at least Books played so poorly so far, it's nobody's going to pick him up, so you could stick him back in the practice squad. So I think, yeah, there's too many other players on this team we've got to keep. And it's funny because you still hear the national media talk about, oh, the Saints should have blown it up. They're in... running up against the cap, and it's like they continue to have such a strong roster. Like this is how they build. This is how you build a roster. We've had five straight winning seasons. I mean, what's the? It's like the national people just hate the fact that the way the Saints have operated, and they've just been completely successful at it because it goes against everything their spreadsheet tells them.
I'm starting to see national media come around the other way now, though, and a few people are starting to say that the Saints are going to be a good team this year.
Remember, we got killed in the draft getting like D and F grades because everybody said like, well, they had the draft of a team that's about to contend, and the Saints are not a team that can contend this year. This was a terrible draft for a team like the Saints. Like, we got crushed at the draft because, not that we had a bad draft, we had a bad draft for, we didn't draft the way a bad team was supposed to draft,
right? Because of all the capital used to move up. But I mean,
right, the other player that I was going to say, so Marcus May got hurdled. That's the start of the game. And it was a nice hurdle that I think could happen to anybody. After that, Marcus May played great. Mm-hmm. And I'll say I've seen the stats of that. Marcus May was, Marshon Lattimore was the only person ahead of him and defended passes and stuff like that. But I don't know anything. I don't watch Jets games. I don't know anything about, besides those stats, if Marcus May is any good. I really liked watching Marcus May play. One, he's bigger than I thought he was, than I expected him to be. It's a big boy out there, and he did a really good job as that strong safety coming up. And he was just another linebacker. He was a little bit skinny linebacker up there hitting people.
He had a hit at the goal line where he pushed the runner back. Yeah. I mean, he just smacked the shit out of that dude.
Yeah, it was him and awesome. Nephi Sewell, wasn't it?
Man, and Nephi Sewell's so small for that linebacker, but you can't tell that he's small by the way he plays. It's just, again, that's a guy that's a tough cut because he just plays the game perfectly. There's a couple where, him, May and Sewell both had two combined tackles at the goal line, but they were lighting people up.
Yeah, it was nice.
So, obviously, nice. There's a lot good to talk about the game. Lutz made a couple more kicks. You know, looks great right now.
Automatic.
Yeah, automatic. It's good to have that again. So, but the bad news coming out of the game is Trevor Penning, and you know he got hurt on the first touchdown run. It's crazy because Ingram scored the touchdown and Penning is like celebrates and it doesn't look like anything happened. And all of a sudden, he's getting carted off. And
it was on the extra point. It was on the extra point that he got hurt.
Oh, okay, okay. So
it wasn't. So it wasn't Juwan Johnson on that play then that hurt him.
Well, yeah, because it, looking at that play, it didn't look like there was really anything to it. It's not like he rolled him up per se. I mean, I know he kind of ran into the back of him, but I don't know. So it came out as he's got a bad case of turf toe. So it's not great because I thought Penning looked really well last night, especially in the run game. You know, the guy's really, really a great run blocker. I mean, you can see that instantly. And it seems like he's been making a lot of quick progress after he struggled that first preseason game. And look, maybe he would have started, maybe he wouldn't have started at the beginning of the season, but it seemed like his progression was going to get him there. And he was going to play a lot. And, you know, maybe he's starting by the end of the season. Now, I mean, a turf toe injury could be anywhere from 2 to 3 months. It's going to linger. So he's going to be having to play through pain. It kind of sucks, but you know, you can't say that we shouldn't have played him because he needed the rep. So he was going to play regardless. This is just one of these freak bad injuries. And so it just sucks because it's going to slow down his development.
At least it's not a high ankle sprain.
The big thing, I think that if Hurst, what Dennis Allen said after the game is that Hurst is going to return sooner rather than later.
That's the classic Saints phrase.
Which we heard Hurst the other day did not have the walking boot on anymore and was, you know, messing around on the sideline, kind of working out. So I think that if Hurst was healthy, Hurst was going to start week 1 and 2 probably as the left tackle, even as much as Penning's been coming along. But during that 2 or 3 weeks that Penning was going to be working a whole lot with these coaches to probably replace Hurst as a starter by week 4 or 5 or 6. This just slows that down. And like we've talked about before, it takes away that sixth offensive lineman that you can put in and run over everybody. We'll see. He's supposed to get an MRI today. We'll see what kind of comes out of it. And, I mean, the turf toes are that kind of weird thing where there's a chance that you just have discomfort. And as long as you can play with the discomfort, you're fine. You can't re-injure it. And then there's the, you know, we got to have conversations about, should we cut off your toe and will it take 6 months? And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of craziness. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Just hope for the best. And, you know, maybe it's a month or two and that's it. And then he can come back, you know, midway through the season. So, I mean, in addition to him, Albert Huggins got hurt. I don't know that he was going to make the team anyway. He got hurt last night. Merritt kind of got dinged up towards the end of the game, but it didn't look like anything serious. But
he came back in and played some more plays.
Okay.
Yeah, but same with Roach. Roach went off as well in the first half, didn't he? Came back on. So
okay. But, yeah, I mean, other than the Penning injury, the good news is we escaped preseason with no major injuries, fingers crossed, nothing happens to practice this week or next week. But it was a really fun – it was a fun game to watch. And it was definitely worth James staying up for last night.
Definitely worth staying up for that one.
So now they'll have – when are the final cuts due? Is it tomorrow?
It's got to be done by the 31st, hasn't it?
That was Wednesday. Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday is the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we have a few days, could possibly – you know, team. This is when teams, in lieu of cutting guys they know are going to get scooped up, maybe they try to call other teams, engage interest. You know, Dallas is looking for an offensive lineman now with losing Terrence Smith. So
we've heard that the Saints have received calls about wide receivers, defensive backs, and offensive linemen. Now the Saints might need an offensive lineman, a tackle, not an interior offensive lineman is what we have extra. You know, tackles what we might need. We still might need a running back. So there's some things here that could make sense that we're not talking about third string guys. We're talking about, you know, guys that can come in and play football that other teams might be needing to get rid of.
Did you not think it was a bit odd that Deonte Harty was still fielding punts in the fourth quarter last night? Or was that do you think, but then he wasn't returning them either.
So I was going to say, here's what I thought was weird. I thought there was a, to me, if you want to read in the clues, I thought there was a statement by the Saints that he was out there fielding punts. I think there was an equal statement back from him that he fair caught every single one of them without even a remote. He didn't think about returning one of those. I don't know if there was anybody close to him on any of them. I've never seen, I mean, he normally is really good about liking to make that first person miss.
There was a couple that he could have returned, I think.
For sure. And so I don't know if there's a game being played there. I don't know, but I mean, if you're trying to read into it, I certainly could from both of them. The fact that he was out there and the fact that he refused to get tackled.
Yeah. Was it in our, I don't know if it was in our group or somewhere. I saw that he's possible trade bait.
Well, to be fair, I sent that to y'all, but it was posted by Balco, who never posts anything accurately. So it's a talking point, and if it's right, it's not because Balco said so.
So yeah, I guess that'll be a situation to watch over the next few days. So it's interesting, but man,
some places that we could trade people.
Yeah. This is a very deep team, but man, it's great. Preseason's finally over. Now we have the 2 week waiting game until week one against the Falcons. Falcons hate week is here. So it's going to be a fun 2 weeks, and it's exciting to finally get the season.
Can we officially say fuck the Falcons?
Oh, you can always, you okay. can't ever you can always say that. Fuck
the they're on TV over here tonight. Their game against the Jags is on one of the sports channels.
Sorry.
Has Mariota been wearing diapers lately? Do we know? Is he cleaning up his diet? Make sure he doesn't poop his pants. Does anybody know?
That's a requirement for a Falcons quarterback. You have to do it.
And this thing that's going on here. Like, I think every preseason we can always sit there and convince ourselves, especially when we had Drew Brees, we could say best case scenario, blah 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 blah, Super Bowl. Like, we could say stuff like that because it was like you had Drew Brees, and you're like, if he has the best season ever, I mean, what do you do if the defense plays decent? This year, we are so deeply talented on offense and defense that if we remain healthy, we can beat every single team in the NFL. And again, I'll always say the caveat is, I mean, if Jameis doesn't throw three interceptions in a game, we can beat her. That's the same with every single quarterback. If they don't throw three interceptions in a game, I think that we have the ability to overcome a lot of things with this defense. And our special teams, I think the way we're going to flip the, even when we have a three and out drive, as long as we're not turning it over and we're just punting, Gilligan's going to put you back on the other side of the field. There's a lot of reasons to be really excited about this. And I'm trying to really temper that because it's really just help. Like, we don't need the best case scenario. We just need the right things to happen. We don't need everything to go perfect to beat any team.
It just feels different. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but this team just feels different. Like, it's built to win. And both, you know, I don't know that we've had years where the offense was really good and the defense was horrible. We've had years where the defense, like the past few years, the defense has been really good and the offense hadn't been really up to par. But this year, it just feels like both are there. Like, they're both just ready and clicking on all cylinders.
Well, yeah, and I wonder, too, you're starting to see some of the national media look to the Saints with Tom Brady going AWOL for 10 days and maybe realizing, hey, this guy's 45 years old. He retired, and then he weirdly came back. Like, does he really want to be here? And, like at some point, I don't care how good you are, at some point age catches up to you and you fall off. It's just – it's inevitable. In addition to the fact that we play against Tampa so well, maybe there's some of that people are starting to come around to us. So, I mean, the division's there for the taking, I think.
Well, Jason, how did Tom Brady play in New England the last 2 years when he didn't want to be there anymore? Everybody thought he hit the age wall 4 years ago, but I mean, what it was is he did not want to be in New England with Belichick anymore. And so he played, and we know everybody's very aware that he does not want to be in Tampa Bay this year. He's playing this year in Tampa Bay so that he can play where he wants next year, whether that's still Miami or somewhere else. There's something he's got going on.
So you think he's going to play next year?
100%. Unless he's injured really bad this year, or if he just really if he does physically fall off a cliff. I'm not sure if I can. I thought that he physically fell off a cliff 4 years ago, but I think that he's proven the last 2 years that was a mental thing. If he did not want to be in part of that team. Yes, he wanted to win, but also didn't want to be there.
The Saints linemen kind of dropping off left and right.
That's the other thing.
He's
not a guy that can take worried. The hits.
Like, no, and he ain't scrambling. Like, he's going to be a statue back there.
Yeah, the Saints are winning. The Saints are winning the South, and you know, I 13 wins is very, very achievable. I'm telling you, all we need to do is score 21 points. Teams are not putting 21 points on this defense.
Honestly, the only team that I don't want to say "quote unquote" scares me, but with Baker Mayfield in Carolina, in the past, we've had trouble with quarterbacks that could scramble around and make plays. Now, I don't know if that's this team. But in the past, that has been an issue.
Well, he's going to be scrambling. Their left tackle, this rookie left tackle they got, is awful. Horrible. He's going to get a quarterback hit many times this year. Like, Davenport's speed rush on him, a bull rush on him, is going to be
not going to be fair.
Terrible. I mean, the quarterback's seriously going to have 2.5 seconds to get rid of the ball on every passing play.
Well, let's assume that Davenport's playing. So let's hope. Well, so.
Well, Taco.
Classic Davenport.
So, so I guess that's all we have for our not-so-instant reaction. We're going to have our big extravaganza next weekend where we do our bowl prediction, sure to go wrong. We'll do our record predictions. We'll do our game preview. And Pick'ems will be back up and running. So we'll have Pick'ems for everybody again this year. I'm trying to remember. Did we do final thoughts for this? I can't. It's been so long since we did it. I kind of don't think so.
I'll tell you one. I just had one thing to say. It's kind of Scott mentioned it, but about this team feeling different. I think that people like Tyrann Mathieu, Jarvis Landry, and even Kirk Merritt, who are from New Orleans and who grew up with parents with, well, maybe Kirk Merritt's parents had season tickets, but the other ones like scrambling just to watch a game or trying to get to a game. those guys actually being from New Orleans kind of means something. I think there's things they can say in the locker room that make this like kind of come full circle. And we have more people like that than ever, because I mean, DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan may not be from New Orleans, but they have embraced the culture of this city and are New Orleans. And there's just a few guys. And I think that it's for so long, we just had Drew as that one voice, and you know, he did it like supporting for the city and the people, but it was one voice doing it. And maybe he had a different kind of way that he was passionate about it, that these guys, I think there's a way that they can rile up a locker room and get everybody singularly focused on what's really important and what this really means to them. And some of these guys are playing for, they were just feel disrespected with the contracts they got this year. So there's a whole lot of different motivations, but also them being from New Orleans, I think, is just ingrained in them.
When Tyrann Mathieu and Jarvis Landry get announced before the Tampa game, the place is going to go ballistic.
I hope one of those guys is going to be. Yeah, I hope one of those guys does the first Hoodat chant.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be. I mean, it's loud in there anyway, but it's going to be louder.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So before we leave, just wanted to give a reminder out there for anybody going to London for the Vikings game in week 4. We're all going to be there. We are doing a meetup Saturday night at the Ninth Ward bar. It's going to be the Dome Patrol and New Orleans Football with Nick Underhill. And it's going to be a fun time. Starts at 5:00. We'll be there all night. So if you're over there, come see us. We will also be tailgating before the game at the Ultimate Tailgate right across from the stadium. It's going to be one of the only places near the stadium that's going to have access to a lot of food and drinks. So we will be doing that. And if you decide you want to do the Ultimate Tailgate, you can type in Dome. What's the code? Dome
P25.
P25, and they get you 25 pounds off the cost of the ticket. So see you Saturday night, see you Sunday morning, and then hopefully we can beat the shit out of the Vikings, who Vikings seem to be getting a lot of love from people with getting a new coach and some of the weapons. Maybe it's just fantasy related, but people seem to be high on the Vikings, so that's gonna be a very, very interesting game. But that's all we have for you. I wanna thank our listeners for downloading. And following us, liking us, Twitter, Facebook, all the good ways you can get it on iTunes, Spotify, however you get your podcast. And I know I'm butchering this again because that's what I do, but it's the instant reaction. So you can also find us the old-fashioned way at DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, preseason donkeys.
Bye-bye, turf toe donkeys.
Ugh.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
I'm gonna be a star, and people will crane necks to get a glimpse of me and see if I am having sex. And studying my moves to try to understand why I am so unlike the singers in the other bands. I'm such a mystery, as anyone can see. There isn't anybody else exactly quite like me. And when it's party time, like 1999. Cause I'm such a special guy. I'm a troublemaker, never been a faker. Doing things my own way and never giving up. I'm a troublemaker, not a double taker. I don't have the patience to keep it on me up. Keep it on me up. I'm a troublemaker, keep it on me up. I'm a troublemaker. Giving up.